Now, I got a question for you today. You ready for this? Is there too much drama in your home? I mean, is there ever a moment in your life when things like were going real smooth and then all of a sudden something happens and the whole world in your house falls apart? Ever happen? Mm-hmm. Does, doesn't it? To all of us, even if there are no kids involved, in a moment, there can be drama. And what I got to tell you is it's set before you today from the scripture is a very powerful and poignant little family drama. Not unlike those little family dramas that sometimes are enacted in your own home. Now, it happened like this. When Jesus was 12 years old, 12 years is a significant year in the life of a Jewish boy, because when he becomes 13, he is, by rule of the synagogue, no longer a boy. The 12th year is the year of preparation, when a Jewish family devotes themselves to preparing their son to take his rightful place in the world, and in particular in the synagogue, as a full-fledged member, an adult. He gets counted in the minyan, the congregation. So Jesus had reached that place. It was during his 12th year. He was being prepared by Mary and Joseph and the whole community to take his place as a man in the world. That year, Mary and Joseph took him to the temple in Jerusalem. Now, the scripture says that this was their custom. They went for Passover. All good Jews, then as now, who can possibly eat the Passover in Jerusalem, seek to eat the Passover in Jerusalem. Since it was their custom, it's reasonable to assume that this was regular for them. Every year, they went to Jerusalem for the Passover, unless there was something that made it impossible for them to go. So Jesus had probably experienced this event many times in his life, but this was the special year, the 12th year, when everything was being explained to him in detail so that he, as an adult member of the community, first of all, understood it himself, but then could explain it to others too. They traveled there in a large company of people. Now, back then, they didn't have private cars. They were open. There were not Holiday Inns by the side of the road every place. They had to sleep out in the open. And they traveled in large companies for the sake of safety and protection. If there were a lot of men there, the robbers might leave you alone. Okay? It was better to travel with your friends and your family. So that's what they did. And after they had been in Jerusalem and celebrated the Passover feast, they started home. Now, I think that when Mary and Joseph began the journey home, Jesus was with them. He was there in the morning when they started out. Mary and Joseph were comfortable when they started the journey, so they must have believed at least that Jesus was in the company of people that they were traveling with. But it was a large company, and apparently Jesus was an active child. They thought he was there among the group. But when they settled down for the evening meal, Jesus was missing. Now, if you've ever been, I come from an extremely large family. Okay, in the summer, my great-grandfather used to have a big family reunion on his farm, and we kids ran like crazy. Our parents never saw us all day long until it was time to eat. Okay, they knew we were there somewhere. They were content that we were safe. If we were doing anything wrong, there were plenty of relatives around to make sure we stopped. Not that I ever did anything wrong as a child. Didn't mean to imply that. Okay. But when they came together for the evening meal, they settled down in family groups. We did the same thing at my grandfather's reunion. We all sat down at the same table with our mother and our father to eat. Okay? They couldn't find Jesus. He was missing. So they began to search high and low. They asked everyone in the group, but nobody knew where Jesus was. And at that moment, Mary and Joseph panicked. He wasn't there. So they set out in desperation to find the child who was missing. Just so you understand all this, I did this to my parents so many times. There are so many stories in my family of times when I decided, like at 3, to go off and do something. Because if you've got a precocious kid, okay, they had gone one day out, traveled one day out before they sat down for evening meal. So they had to travel one day back. They sent the next day searching, and it was not until the third morning that they found Jesus. He was sitting in the temple courts with the teachers of the law, talking to them about the Bible and asking them questions. Now, here's what you need to understand. Jesus was acting as if there was nothing wrong. When they found that little sucker, Jesus was sitting there completely composed, lost in discussion with the teachers of the law. He did not appear to have a single care in the world. He had no other concerns. He was perfectly content and at peace. Now, the Bible says that the teachers of the law were beside themselves. That's what the Greek word in the text that's translated amazing, that was read to you amazed, that's what that word means. It means that they were literally outside of themselves. They were indeed amazed. The scholars could not believe this kid. I mean, he came from Nazareth. Nowhere. He had no formal training. His parents were nothing to speak of. But his grasp of the scripture and his theological knowledge was equal to their own. He asked such deep questions that they had to think about things in a different way than they had ever thought about them before. And they could not believe it. They were beside themselves. But the pleasant little scene in the temple court did not impress Mary. I mean, poor woman, come on. She had been worried sick. She had been searching for this child for 3 days. Come on, moms. Her emotions were at a frenzied peak. She was physically tired. She had worn herself out in every conceivable way. And there was Jesus. Not one concern in the world. Sitting there perfectly at peace, talking with the teachers of the law. He didn't seem to realize that there was any other perspective in the world than his. He did not seem to give 1 ounce of concern about the care he had caused his mother and Joseph. He seemed to be totally unaware of what he had put them through. There he sat, perfectly content. And folks, Mary's emotions overflowed, and Mary's temper flared. Got a question for you, parents. You ever been there? Sure you have. Some people are even hugging their kids. Maybe it's now. Now, the translation set before you today says that Mary was astonished when she saw Jesus sitting there. And I got to tell you that for some reason the word bothered me. Really bothered me when I got to that word. Really bothered me because sometimes the word amazed for the teachers of the law and the word astonished for Mary are switched around. So the teachers of the law are astonished and Mary is amazed. In English translations, gets all mixed up. I want to know what this word meant. Okay? So I looked it up. Okay. The Greek word behind the English word literally means to strike out at. Mm-hmm. Now, the most frequent translation of the word is that it means to hit something physically. Whoop. Okay? It can mean to attack verbally, but it rarely means to attack verbally. It can very well mean that Mary was simply so astonished with the scene before her that she hauled off and smacked Jesus for his insolence. Mm-hmm. Or it could mean that she was a bit more controlled and lashed out at him with her tongue. What the Bible literally says is that Mary's emotions went over the top. She became instantly out of control, and one way or the other, she lashed out against Jesus. Now, I got to ask you something, parents. You ever been there? Mm-hmm. When they, like, do something that drives you instantly over the top, and before you even think about it, your emotions come spilling out, and you lash out. One way, it's a nice way of putting it, lash out one way or the other. Mm-hmm. You know it's true. You understand how Mary might have felt, don't you? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And oh, I hear you kids sitting there saying, "She hit Jesus!" But those of you who are parents, yeah, you understand her perfectly well, don't we? Mm-hmm. See, there are moments when our kids drive us to the point of distraction. And when we get to that point, we do sometimes lose it, don't we? You know why we lose it? Because there ain't one of us in this room who's perfect. And you know what Mary's plight was? She may have had a perfect kid, but she wasn't perfect too. Imagine being an imperfect parent and trying to raise a perfect child. Yeah. Every parent has been where Mary was that day. Because sometimes the irresponsible activities of our kids drive us to the point of explosion. Now, I use the word irresponsible advisedly here, because I realize that I'm talking about Jesus, who never did anything wrong. Okay, but I got to say it to you again. Living with perfection is not easy. Ask Lois. See, the truth is that Jesus had not done anything technically wrong. He was not doing anything wrong at the moment Mary found him. He had been perfectly safe all the while because he was under the protection of God the Father. But even sometimes when we don't do things wrong, they have consequences. Our actions have consequences in the life of others who may not understand that they're perfectly fine, who have been affected by what we did in some adverse way, and their emotions just spill over. I told you at the beginning that this scene could have happened in any home. And I hope by now you see how it could happen. How it happens from time to time in your house. Well, Mary, according to the scripture, lashed out at Jesus. "How could you do this?" she said. Didn't you know that your father, meaning Joseph, your father and I would be worried? And Jesus answered her, and didn't you know that I would be in my father's house? I got to, it's not in the notes, but I got to stop you here. If he had been your kid, and he had talked to you that way, okay? See, the change in that pronoun is so significant. She says, your father, meaning Joseph and I, who are, and he says, didn't you know I'd be in my father's house? But you know what the Bible says after that? It says that after that, Jesus returned with them to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And it says that Mary, I love the phrase, treasured all these things up in her heart. She put a little gold bow on them in a pretty little box, and she just thought, oh, this is a treasure. No. You know what the Greek word means? It means she gathered it all up and she thought about it. Because that's what a reasonable and responsible parent does under such circumstances. You got to get it all together and think about it. You have to consider what just happened. You know why? You're supposed to be the adult. You got to gather it all up and think about it. So now, what are the lessons for all of this for us as we sit here today? Were you ready? Lesson number one is for kids. Obey your parents. Even when they get all emotionally mixed up and act towards you out of their misunderstanding, just as Mary did to Jesus. Obey your parents. You know why? Because it is the example that Jesus himself set for you. That's what the scripture says that Jesus did. He politely submitted to the authority of his parents because it is right to do so. The scripture says it. Not because they're always right. Not because they always behave in the right way. Not because they truly understand your motives in every situation and never lose it irrationally or irresponsibly. Obey your parents because the Bible says that you should. And lesson number two is for parents. Make sure that you treasure it in your heart, that you ponder it and think about it, so that when indeed you do respond to your child in an inappropriate way, as Mary did that way that day in the temple, you begin to understand and can apologize if appropriate, so that you do not provoke your child to wrath. The scripture says, do not provoke your child to wrath. Even if they have been irresponsible and driven you to the point of distraction, made you strike out at them, be it verbally or otherwise, think it over. Better yet, think first. And lesson number three, you can be absolutely sure, whether you're talking about your kids or talking about your parents, that from one moment to another, whoever it may be, your parent or your kid, is going to drive you to distraction and cause you to strike out. I don't care who you are. If you're a kid, there's going to be a moment when your parent just is so stupid. They don't understand you at all. They are constantly making unfair demands on you, and they never, ever listen to what you have to say. And if you are a parent, you can be absolutely sure that the moment will come when that kid pushes you so hard that you go over the edge. Folks, it happened in the Holy Family. Today, set before you is the example. Mary and Joseph experienced the same thing with Jesus that you parents experienced with your kids, and I'll bet you Jesus was a bit exasperated with Mary and Joseph that day. Can you imagine sitting there before the teachers of the law and have your mother smack your face? It's going to happen. Because when imperfect people are involved, stuff like that always happens. And lesson number four, God has plans for us all. And they are unfolding around us, sometimes with our knowledge and sometimes without our knowledge, but always with our participation. See, there's only one childhood story of Jesus in the whole Bible. This is it. Okay? The Holy Spirit intended for us to read this story the way we have read it today. He wanted us to understand something about the makeup of families, so he involved Mary and Joseph and Jesus in this little scenario so that we might be informed. I don't know that they understood it at all, but God was working his plan so that we might better understand each other and our families. Now, you ready for this one? At 12 years old, Jesus knew who he was and whose house he was in. He knew it. He knew at 12 that God was calling him to some special purpose in life, that God had plans for him. Now, the scholars argue exactly what Jesus knew at 12 and what he knew at 30 and where he finally got fully informed and all that kind of stuff. But I want you to understand, he understood enough to know at 12 that God was going to use him. If you're a kid sitting out here today, you can be absolutely sure that God has a plan for your life, just as he had a plan for Jesus' life. And that if you submit to that plan, you will find in it happiness. God's calling you today. And if you're a parent, you can be absolutely sure that God is using you to affect the life of the child he has put in your care and otherwise. For all of that child's life, God has plans for you to bring you hope and a future.